Hey, Signature Powerhouse fam. As many of you are aware, in 2025, our theme is Equip the Saints for Ministry and Maturity. And we've been looking at Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul writes and talks about the ministry gifts of Jesus, or often called the fivefold gifts. We've been looking at the idea that the church operates best when there are five ministries of Jesus operating: the apostolic, the prophetic, the evangelistic, the pastoral or shepherding, and the teaching streams. And so a healthy church has got five great streams flowing in it. And so part of our goal this year is to help you to identify what's the ministry grace that's on your life. What are you wired for? And often we can tell that by what fires us up, or where we've got fruit in our area, or maybe even if we're a bit frustrated that something's not happening. That's an indication of a ministry stream for us. And so we've been helping people identify, is it the apostolic, is that your stream, where you've got that sense of taking ground and breakthrough? Is the prophetic stream your stream, where it's the focus is on worship, the focus is on prayer, on intercession, on equipping people through prophetic ministry to people? Are you evangelistic? Do you love reaching lost people and want to win people to Christ? Do you have the grace of pastoral stream, ministry stream? So do you love people? You want to make sure they're well cared for, they're well loved? Or is it the teaching stream? You love the word and you want to bring that alive to everybody. So one of the things we've wanted to do this year is help you identify where's the fire of God in your life. What's the ministry stream that we can equip you to go even deeper into that grace on your life? The second thing, and just I like to think of it like this, just as everybody has five senses, the church needs these five streams, but all of us also, we need to grow in maturity to become more like Jesus. That means that we need to grow in areas that aren't our ministry grace. So a mature follower of Jesus has a spirit of faith and breakthrough. A mature follower of Jesus knows how to prophesy and encourage and pray and worship. A mature follower of Jesus, they might not be an evangelist by grace, but we all need to be soul winners. We all need to care about lost people. We might not be wired as pastors or pastoral, but we all need to love one another. And you might not have the grace or gifting of teaching, but we all need to love and understand the Word of God and the themes of the Word of God. So this is our focus this year. Help you discover your ministry grace, but also help all of us to mature as saints to become more like Jesus in all of those five areas.
We are like the last week, this week and next week is all around the teaching theme, teaching series. It's a teaching series. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit about Pastor Katie. She is the co-founder of Trash Your Bible, which helps you to actually study the Bible, read the Bible. It's helped me. I spent probably maybe 5 years ago, is when I found Trash Your Bible. And the first study I did, it was like to actually read the books of the Bible instead of, I used to read the Bible in 1 year, which is a little bit of New Testament, Old Testament, Proverbs and Psalms. But the balanced program, a plan that she has in it, was to read a book at a time. And that changed my life. I thought I was doing pretty good with learning about Jesus. But when I changed to doing it Trash the Bible way, and I'd watch little videos of Katie and do the homework every day, but I learned so much about God. It changed me on the inside. The more of God you get on the inside of you, the more actually of God that comes out of you. So I just love that she can talk more about that. Anyway, she also lectures at C3 College. She holds a master's in theology. And this morning, we found out she's actually got her PhD. Yeah. So she's actually Dr. Katie Haldane. Whoa, doctor. So you can call her doctor after the service. That's fine. But what I love about her, I've seen her like mostly on a video, but what I love about her, we've got her live here tonight. She is passionate about the Word of God. In fact, I just get excited thinking about her teaching the Word of God, and you are going to too. As you lean in, you'll get that anointing that she has for a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God. So I'd love you to all to stand to your feet and let's welcome Dr. Katie Haldane.
That sounds so strange. absolute honour to be here tonight. I'm really excited. God's doing something. Can you feel it? It's like, woo! I won't be as naughty as Pastor Teresa, though. I was trying to keep it under control. But as you just remain standing, I do want to just, if it's okay with Pastor Josh, I just felt on my heart to share why I am a teacher of the Word. I'm an introvert that is incredibly shy. When I was younger, my parents actually took me to a psychologist because I didn't speak. I was so shy. And they were like, she just sits in a room and she's just super quiet. What do we do? Because my parents were extroverts. And the beautiful psychologist said to them, my parents, it's called an introvert. She's not psychologically broken. She's just shy. That's just how she is. And then the call of God came on my life. And he said to me, Katie, I need you to overcome that spirit of fear, of intimidation. I need you to get a voice because I need you to call a generation to the Word of God. I need you to get up there and say that there is truth out there, that we are hearing from social media, we're hearing from all of this stuff. And if the church is not predominantly the pinnacle of truth, then that truth is going to sway our world. That is going to steer the boat. And I think as Christians, we need to have a Holy Ghost fire in us to say that this is the truth of the Word of God. This is what we stand by. It's love. It's fulfilled in love and grace. So what I wanted to do just as we start tonight is if you feel the call of a teacher upon you, I just want you to raise your hand so I know who I'm. Now, don't be humble. If you've got a call of a teacher, just put your hand up. Like, if you feel that call upon you, if you feel that call that you are called to teach the Word of God. Now, can I just say, awesome, I know who I'm. Put your hands down for a second. The teacher of the Word of God is somebody that unlocks the brain to reveal the heart. You're not teaching to convince people. You're teaching them and using the Word of God to switch and unlock every lie that the enemy has placed in there so that you're popping their heart open. It's not about just information. It's about revelation that brings transformation. It's not just about, I'm not here to fill your head with knowledge. That's not my job. My job is to bring revelation from the Word of God that will bring transformation. Paul says, I do not come with words of wisdom, but with the demonstration and the power of the Holy Spirit. What we need to rise up in this generation is Holy Spirit-filled academics that are teaching the Word of God. We need people to go into these fields. Why am I super passionate? Because I go to conferences and I can be in a conference for 500 people and I'm the only Pentecostal there. And one lady actually came to me and said, how can you be a Pentecostal and an academic? And I'm like, easy. So there is this call and I just want to pray for you. If you feel that call in your spirit that God is saying to you, I want you to teach the Word of God, then just put your hand up again and let me pray for you. Father, just raise your hands to God. Father, right now, we just pray for the commissioning of heaven upon these lives. If you're around them, put your hands on them, guys. We just pray for the commissioning of heaven upon these teachers of the Word of God, teachers of truth, teachers that will go into areas and arenas and speak the truth of the Word of God. We thank you for boldness upon them, boldness in their heart. We thank you, Lord, for bold. Is it David who had the birthday? We thank you for boldness upon this man of God, that authority of God that you have in the workplace, you will be a teacher of authority. You will bring truth into dark places. It won't be harsh or judgmental, but there is an authority of the sword of the Lord coming out of your mouth that will bring breakthrough to people's lives. And they will be like, oh my gosh, you literally just unlocked the confusion in my head. That's the gift of a teacher. We thank you for that authority coming over these people right now in Jesus' name, not to bring confusion, to bring clarity. You will unlock things in people's brains and they'll be like, I'd never looked at it that way. We thank you for that anointing. That gentleman who's just come back from Spain, there is a call of God on you to teach the word of God. God said, yep, great, go and do your thing, but now it's time to get busy. Now it's time for the anointing of God on you to teach. I see young men coming around you and I see you teaching the word of God and you're teaching them with authority and power. They're going to come in and say, help me know. And you're going to unlock the scriptures over their life and teach them the word. We thank you for the authority of the word of God in this place. In Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Father. And we all said, amen, amen and amen. Have a seat, band. Awesome. So good to be here. As I said, I'm so grateful to Pastor John and Danielle. I adore Pastor John and Danielle. When Pastor John comes to Oxford Falls, we know Pastor John's there because all we hear is Urabasataramasara. And I said to Mark Kelsey, who was my boss at the time, I was like, does he ever stop speaking in tongues? It literally was. It was so comforting. Pastor Phil sings constantly and Pastor, John speaks in tongues all the time. It's very comforting. So it's so beautiful to be on this stage. Pastor Josh and Shekinah, it's just so beautiful to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I'm having a ball. I don't want to go home to Sydney. I kind of woke up this morning and I was like, do you know what I have to say? Where do you people go on holidays when you live in paradise? Like people from Sydney have to come up here. Where do you go? I'm in heaven, I don't know. But I was like, oh my gosh, this is like paradise. All right, jump into the book of James, guys. My job tonight is just to go through a quick structure. I'm going to meet you in James 3. We're going to talk about taming the tongue. And as a teacher, my job is not to condemn you, because condemnation comes without hope. But as a teacher, I may convict you a little bit, if that's okay. I may challenge you a little bit, because the role of a teacher, as I said this morning, imagine us all as a body of Christ going along a journey and you've got the apostle out the front and the apostle's like, keep going, take ground. And we're like, yes, we're behind you. The prophet's like, God says, go this way. And we're going that way. All the pastors have got a first aid kit and they're running around making sure everybody's healed and whole and are you good? And we love you and, you know, that sort of thing. And we've got the evangelist who's saying, you should come on this journey with us. It's amazing. And then we've got God bless the teacher who is like, make sure you stay on the path. Make sure you're good. We're the nagging one. Don't you love that? I said this morning that I tried to fake my gifts test. Because I got teacher twice and I was so devastated. And so I pretended that I was a prophet when I did it the next time. And I was like, I'll just pretend. And guess what it came out as? Teacher. Oh, you cannot smite the Holy Spirit, right? So what we're talking about in this book of James is something that may be a little bit, ouch, it may be a little bit corrective, but my job tonight is, again, not to make you feel guilty, but to bring you to maturity. That's the role of a teacher. So the screen that Dan went through last week, we're just going to visit that again. This is a really great thing to do when you're reading a book of the Bible. I'm not sure we've got it tonight, have we? We have. When you're reading a book of the Bible, to know context, it's really good to think about who wrote it, what did they write, why did they write it, and when did they write it. So you're really going through this author date background, because when you think about these books, if you are thinking about who wrote it, I've just done my PhD in the book of Revelation, and yes, I'm slightly weird, but there was this moment when I read Revelation and I'm thinking about John in the first century and I'm thinking about why he's writing such an apocalyptic text. Why in that time did he have to crack open heaven and say, look guys, I know you're getting a bit worried down here, but let me just show you what's going on up there. It shocks me that people get so scared of the book of Revelation, and I do understand it. However, I walked past my nephew's game the other day and I was more shocked at the beast on that game than I am in Revelation. I was like, what the heck? If you look at Revelation as a text that just opens up hope and it opens up passion and opens up these things and you understand what the context is, the books will be easier to read. So we're in James. The author is the half-brother of Jesus. He didn't believe in him while he was alive, and you can kind of hear this moment. It's so amazing when you look at James 1. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine writing that about your half-brother. What was the revelation that James had to come to not just say my brother Jesus, but to say to the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember, Jesus Christ is not his first name and his surname. It's a declaration of messiahship. It's a declaration that this isn't just Jesus of Nazareth, my half-brother. This guy is much more than my half-brother. He's the Son of God. Imagine that moment where James is having this moment where he's buried, seen Jesus crucified on the cross, watched his mother go through this incredible time, heartbroken and grieving, and then 3 days later he's got this sound that something's changed. It says in the Bible that Jesus turned up and appeared to James, his half-brother. Imagine that moment. I did a Bible college thing, and one of my students did a Lego thing, and the appearance of Jesus to James, she made him walk through a wall, and it was hysterically funny. And James goes, "Oh my goodness, oh God." And then he's like, "Yep, you got it." Did you get it? It was very funny. I love Bible college students. It's a Bible joke. But as we keep going, audience, let's move on. You know what? My flatmate always goes, "I don't get your jokes." I'm like, "I know, I'm a Bible nerd." Audience of this text, it's a Jerusalem church. But what is it? Let me just highlight this as I did this morning. It's a wisdom text. So as you read in the Old Testament, Job, you're reading Ecclesiastes, you're reading these Proverbs. When you read Proverbs, it's got a bit of a chew to it. It's got a bit of something to do. Proverbs is not a collection of sayings, it's a collection of doings. It's not a collection. You're not supposed to read, you know, memorize Proverbs like a collection of sayings. What you're supposed to do is take Proverbs and do what it says. It says if laziness is a bad thing and being fruitful and righteous is good, then let's be on the good side. So you're supposed to kind of have a look at that. Same with James. It's not something that you're supposed to just read, but it's something like Dan said last week that you are supposed to do. So why did he write this? And I really want to focus on this as we talk about the tongue. James felt that the church, that the world was infiltrating the church and the teaching of Paul was too light about who could be saved. Imagine this moment, you are the head of the Jerusalem church and your Stephen, one of your leaders, is being killed. And we read this in Acts. James, the head of the Jerusalem church, is looking at one of his leaders, imagine that, and he's being stoned. And then you cast your eye over and the guy that they're throwing their clothes onto is Paul. And you're kind of looking at him with a side look. You're kind of looking at him like we know what team. And then all of a sudden, a little time later, this guy starts saying that he's saved and he wants to speak in all your churches. This guy's saying, "I've had a revelation and I've had this incredible, incredible transformation moment with Jesus Christ. And now I want to do a tour of your churches. Where previously I was killing them and putting them in prison, now I want to come and preach the gospel." How am I feeling about Paul? Yeah, I'm a little sus. I'm like, okay, you can come to my church, but I'm going to have a security guard next to you because I want to protect my people. So what we're looking at in this book of James is writing this as a church father and saying, Paul's out there preaching, you can be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But as a church dad, I would like to see your works. As a church dad, I would like you to have some more maturity. So as we jump in here, the first thing that he wants in James 1:4 is spiritual maturity. Look at it. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. He's that dad that doesn't want you to remain in infancy when you get saved. Imagine if Elijah stayed as Elijah was 6 months ago and didn't transform. We want people to spiritually mature as they go along. The second thing that he says is the concern that the world is getting into the church. And he says this in James 1:27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I was preaching at youth a while ago and God just gave me this message to be set apart, to talk to the youth about being set apart, to talk to the youth as a teacher of the Word of God, that when you go out there, you need to be a light in a dark place, not one of the dark people in that moment. You need to be out there in purity. You need to be out there in integrity. You need to be out there living moral, upright lives so that people come to you and say, "What is it that you have?" I remember when I was at a party and I didn't drink, and I was at a party and everybody knew that I didn't drink because I was a Christian. Anyway, this guy would bag me out all the time. Christian Katie, such a bore. And it's just like got on my nerves. And I'm like, get over it, okay, I'm a Christian. And then the next time, where's that Christian Katie, the purity chick that doesn't drink? And all the time, he was like this nagging thing in my ear. And he was my good friend's boyfriend. And so I had to hang around him. And I'm like, oh, mate. Anyway, we went to this time and I heard, Christian Katie, where are you? And I'm like, I'm here. And he's like, Christian Katie. He came running up and he's like, I'm having an asthma attack and you're the only one that's not, that's sober. Get me home. I was like, now you call me Christian Katie. So what did I do? No, I didn't leave him there. So we're in the car and he's like, I'm so glad you follow Jesus. I'm so glad you follow Jesus. I'd be dead if you're not following Jesus right now. The whole car ride home. The thing about this and the thing about the Word of God is it causes us to be different to the world. James is saying, don't blend out in over there, guys. Don't blend into the world. We need to make sure that we stand out. So James 3, 1 to 12. As I'm reading this, I want to teach you about reading the Bible. So when you're reading a chunk of Bible like this, what you're doing is just noticing words that pop out. It's not right or wrong. So what pops out at you, what jumps out at you, you highlight. But where we have just been is, James has just said, faith without works is dead. He's saying, I want to see your salvation. I want to see your Christianity. If you're saying you are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone for good works, then he kind of balances it out and he says, however, your mouth has to profess that as well. What you say and what comes out of your mouth has to also reflect what is going on in your heart. If Jesus Christ, and if you haven't given your life to Christ, tonight is a great opportunity. If Jesus Christ has come into your heart and that beautiful gift of salvation, remember that moment, guys, when you went from darkness to light? That moment when you were in shame and sin and everything was going wrong, and then all of a sudden Jesus came into your life and the light just went on. And that beautiful moment, he's saying, at that moment and that transformation of the heart, I want to see your lifestyle change, but I want to see your mouth change. So James 3, 1 to 12, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. I'll clarify that. All of you are going to put your hand back down now. Who wants to be a teacher? Not me. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. He's basically saying your tongue has great power. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. It's getting worse. For every kind of beast and bird, a reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Don't you love a teacher? Very positive. But can you feel that he's poetically drawing you in and then he's about to correct you? With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. I called this message, you kiss your mother with that mouth. Do you remember Wayne's World? Am I showing my age? There's something about the responsibility of a teacher and a responsibility of a Christian, not just to guide your life, but the responsibility of what we do and say for others around us. Because James here isn't just talking about you guiding your life with your tongue, and I'm going to talk about that, guide, making sure that you're confessing and all those beautiful things. What he is actually saying in this text is, what I'm watching in the body of Christ is you destroying each other with this. James is more concerned in this scripture about what's happening in the body of Christ than he is concerned about your personal life. And I know your personal life, we're going to talk about that. But what he's saying is the way we speak to one another is very important. The way we take care of one another. So the first thing I know about this section is uncontrolled and critical speech is the key theme in James. I'm going to jump down to James 1:26. It says, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves and their religion is worthless. Would you prefer a prophet? That's what he's saying. He's saying, if you don't control this, if you just let this go and just say things that come out of your mouth and you just kind of blurt things out. Has anyone had that moment where you just blurted things out and you're like, oh my gosh, that was so bad. That's okay. But if you're continuously blurting things out, it's like you're setting a fire and then you're walking away and going, good luck. You're the one that's just setting something on fire and walking away and you're continuously blurting it out. In James 4:11 to 12, it says, do not speak evil against one another. This is how I know he's not just talking about your personal life. He's talking about the body of Christ. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. He's basically saying, don't stand in judgment over your brother and condemn them with your tongue. I love the fact that this place is a family and this place has been a family for me. And the greatest thing about the body of Christ is the beautiful encouragement of the saints. And the worst thing about the body of Christ is sometimes the mouth of the saints. Can I be a bit honest? That cuts deeper because you expect things to be good. You expect them to be amazing and kind and we're all, you know, on God's hospital bed. But sometimes when somebody comes in and just speaks and you're expecting mercy and grace and you get judgment, that cuts harsher than anything else. And if that's you tonight and you've come into this church and maybe this church has offended you or another church has offended you, I want to genuinely say that we're sorry. I want to genuinely say that we are God's test pilots. We're giving it a go. And sometimes some things come out of our mouth. Don't hold that offense in your heart if we have done that. If we've said something and lit a fire and just walked away. If we've done that and we've hurt you, we are genuinely sorry. But one, don't hold that against the church and don't hold that against Christ. I talk to people all the time and I say, you know, come to church. And they said, I'd love to come to church if there were no Christians in there. Has anyone heard that? My dad, he was an adamant person that he would never step foot in a church and the only time he would is if all the Christians left. He did not like Christians. He said to me when I got saved, he said, Katie, it's the worst thing you could have done getting saved. I did not want any Christians in my family. And I said to him, can I prove to you that Christ in me makes me better? Can I prove to you? And there were days where I had to hold my tongue. There were days when I just wanted to lash out. There were days when I wanted to just go, ah! But everything in me was showing him that Christ loves him with every being. Everything in me. My mouth had to speak well. So the first thing that I want you to notice is words are also works. That what you do with this Christianity isn't just about good works that we spoke about this morning, but it's what you do with this tongue. With great power comes great responsibility. And God has set us free and it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. But what are you doing with that freedom? Do it well. The second thing, I just want to highlight the warning for teachers. Did you notice where it says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Let me talk to the teachers in the room. You have an authority to teach the word of God and transform people's hearts that comes with great joy and it comes with great responsibility. I know that when I'm teaching the word of God, I am on my knees because I know that I have a responsibility to do well by you, to speak something that is truth, not just Katie's words, but God's words. So he says here, guys, teachers, know the power of your words. And it's for everyone. Did you see the word there? It says, for we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is perfect. A perfect man able also to bridle his whole body. I geeked out on this word. Do you know this word perfect actually means complete and mature? Are you on a journey with your mouth? We all are. Are you on a journey getting in control what you say to people? We all are. And this is what spiritual maturity is. James is calling you to maturity so that you will be complete and mature with this. Because when God can give you this understanding, when you've got responsibility and a hold of your tongue, God will give you greater responsibility in it. God said to me when I was very young, and I remember it, he said, Katie Haldane, you better get a hold of your tongue or there will be no preaching from a pulpit. And I was like, oh, because I'm a lasher. Anyone? It just bleh, comes out. It's, you know you are. You're also holy in here. Put your hand up. No. I'm like one of those people that, bleh, and then I'm like, I'm so sorry. And then I'll next time, Lord, please help me, don't do that. Please help me, don't do that. Bleh. Yet I want to come up and preach the gospel, yet I'm not responsible with the person who's standing in front of me. God said to me really early, he said, Katie Haldane, if you are not responsible with that beautiful person standing in front of you, I'm not going to give you any more than the one, because I can't trust you. So when I was very young, I learnt that everything, I became the girl that said, you're gorgeous. That was my thing. Oh, you're so gorgeous. Oh my gosh, you're gorgeous. And all I wanted to do was just encourage people and love on people, because God has given me a gift to communicate and I have to be able to use it on the one. It's that beautiful moment of, again, with great power becomes great responsibility, but what God gives you in the small, he's going to bless you. So number three, recognize the power of the tongue. Small things make a big impact. Personally, let me give you a testimony about this. When you are personally speaking over yourself, speak well. Okay? God said to me, Katie, you're doing really well talking about, you know, well to others. And I was like, oh, you're amazing. Oh, God bless you. And I worked with Pastor Phil Pringle and everybody's amazing. Anyone? You're amazing. No, you're amazing. Pastor Phil, everybody's amazing. So I was like doing really well. And then he said to me, could you turn that tongue on yourself for good? And he's like, just listen for a day what you say over yourself. Just a day. I thought, okay, I'm going to be super holy today and say nothing bad. I don't know how many times I said, Katie Haldane, you're such an idiot. I'd trip over and I'd be like, oh, I'm such an idiot. Or I'd do something and I'd, oh, you're such a dope. Like, it just kept, anyone? Just kept coming out. Oh, that's never going to happen because I'm not good enough. Or that's never going to, oh, God doesn't love me. And oh, there's just over and over again, I'm speaking well to others, but I'm not speaking well over myself. Maybe tonight it's not your about speaking others. Maybe tonight God is saying to you, I need you to love you as much as I love you. I need you to be strong in you and know who you are and take care of you as much in your mouth as I do. Number four, it's not just James, Peter, and Paul recognize the power of words. Look at 1 Peter 3:10. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Don't you love Paul? It's not even like a, when you're having a bad day. There's no caveat. It's just let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. When you leave a conversation, how are the people feeling that you've just spoken to? Because teachers, we can be judgy people. Anyone? We can be people that are quite critical. Let's be people that are going to build each other up. Let's be the body of Christ that love on one another. Let's people walk in here and go, you guys talk so well about each other. Oh my gosh, I'm just going to come in here and have a heaven spa of how beautiful you speak to one another. Because they're going to know us by that. And this is what James is saying. It's not a religious, number four, controlling of your tongue. It's about your heart. Being completely honest, I cannot fake my emotions. Is anybody else wired that way? So I came to a Pentecostal church that when you're having a really down time, you're supposed to be like, bless God. And I just can't do it. All things work together for good for those who love God. And I'm dying inside. Anyway, God said to me once, he said, if you do want to have a good, fruitful, beautiful mouth that blesses people, let me deal with your heart. It's not about controlling your words. It's about being healed in your heart. Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So it's not just about learning the right words and making sure, and that's almost religious. Just recently, like I said this morning, my dad died and in May, and he just dropped. He was getting ready for bed, 73, just dropped dead and had a heart attack. And like I said this morning, I was doing really well. I was like, bless God, it's amazing. I was preaching at conferences. I'm like, I'm doing so well. I am going so well with this grief. Look at me, it's so good. And then I hit August and I could hear my language change. And somebody said to me, how good is God? And what came out of my mouth is, I'm not sure. And I went, and the person went, that's not like you. And I said, oh no, sorry, having a bad day. And then walked off. And then someone said to me, all things work together for good. And I said, I don't know that anymore. And it started dribbling out of my mouth, the depression and the discouragement in my heart. What was in my heart was a sickness and grief. Because when you listen to your mouth, it's almost like a thermometer of what's going on inside you. If there is offense coming out of your mouth, go back to your heart and say, what's going on? If there's bitterness coming out of your mouth, go back to your heart. Maybe if there's fear coming out of your mouth, go back to your heart. Are you anxious? So I did that. I said to God, okay, let's have a chat about this. And sat down with him and I said, you've probably heard. It's not a shock to him. It's not like I could cover it up. And I said, not so good at the moment, am I? And I felt the Holy Spirit say, no. And he said, but let's have an honest conversation. And I cried. I just wept. I miss my dad. I'm hurt. I'm angry. The Christians in my family decided to do this crazy thing at the funeral and made it a Christian funeral. And my dad believed in God, but it's not what he wanted. And I was angry at them. And I'm like, you know, when you're talking to God and you're like, and they did that. And then they did that. And then they did that. And then I realized I'd let all this into my heart and I was just bitter and angry. God showed me in Matthew 12:34, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. James is not saying to you, religiously control your mouth, because I know that because we've just spoke about in the beginning of James where he says, I want you to be so filled with the Holy Spirit and so grateful about your Christianity that good works come out. It's the same with your mouth. Be so filled with the Holy Spirit and so grateful, and the joy of the Lord be your strength, that what comes out of your mouth is joy. And allow God in. I'll get the band to come up. In John 7:38, it says this, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. We kind of take this as a Holy Spirit bubbling from within our belly, but it's actually not. In this version, it actually says it's out of your heart. And if you were dead honest with me tonight, and if we were sitting down 101, what is your mouth speaking that your heart is full of? When you have those tired times, anyone? And the holiness goes out the window. And Katie, the holy Christian, goes out the window and you're just honest. What is coming out of your mouth? Is it hurt? Is it discouragement? Is it grief? When somebody says God is good, do you go, I'm not sure? Is it anxiety? When someone says, go and do that amazing thing, and you're like, I really can't. Because tonight I don't want you to just religiously control your tongue. I want you to get your heart healed so that out of the overflow of that joy, out of the overflow of that healing, out of the overflow of a heart that is just so healed and full of Christ, your mouth bubbles forth praise. During this time, Pastor Pat Ancliffe said to me, Katie, I've never heard you be so negative. I was in a meeting and I was just broken. And he said, I've never ever heard you. What's going on in your heart? And I said to him, I'm not sure God's good. I'm not sure what's going on. right now I'm just grieving. Right now I'm just numb. Right now, has anyone been through this? This is horrible. Right now I'm just hurt. I miss my dad so much. Even to the point where that beautiful Seth, even to the point where I'm thinking about not being here anymore. I'm thinking what it would look like if I just disappeared. That's ridiculous, right? But when your heart is broken, when God has got something on the finger of his and he's like, I need you to heal that. Don't ignore that. I feel like tonight God is going to do a beautiful heart work. Is that okay? I feel like tonight that if you have a barometer in your mouth that says there's something wrong, then listen to it. Come on, let's just raise our hands. We're just going to worship again. I'm going to finish up. I'm going to hand over to Pastor Josh.